Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Numbers 24, and it's the last chapter of seeing Balaam and his so-called ministry in speaking to Balak and not being able to curse Israel as the king of Moab wanted Balaam to do, but God would not allow him to do it. In the first two chapters, 22 and 23, we saw Balaam go up to the high places and have animal sacrifice to him, which was not of God at all. Yet God is choosing to use this false prophet for a period of time to basically tell Balak, you know what, Israel's not going to be cursed. They're going to be blessed. And eventually Moab is, you know, not going to have victory over Israel, but Israel is going to be able to have its way. So in this particular chapter, though, it appears that Balaam even has an extra measure of God working through him in this period of history where the Spirit of God is going to come upon him now, and he's not going to go to a high place, and he's not going to offer sacrifices, and he's going to be used rightly by God. It's kind of a very unusual setting in God's Word, because we have, as I'll show you today, and I'll illustrate it more clearly, that we have a false prophet that God is choosing to use for a short period of time to do right. Not a lot of examples of that. I guess we have people in the Bible who at times were used by God rightly and then later were used wrongly. They typically weren't prophets. They typically were kings who honored God for a season and then didn't. But here we have this case in a prophet. And, you know, I'm thankful to be able to share with you that about the falsity of Balaam, because if you were to read this and not know that, you'd be just convinced that this Balaam was a great guy. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as to other times to seek omens, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his discourse and said, and you know, I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but regarding Balaam, I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but notice what it said here. When it saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, I do believe that God's hand is still upon that land and upon Israel. Yes, they need to receive Jesus as their Messiah, but don't turn on Israel and don't think that God has forsaken, because he has long promises yet for that land. And many Jews are still going to come to Jesus. Many have already, but there will be more in the future times and in the future end times. Until then, we should have an eye on Israel and not be an enemy to them, but be able to support them. Now, does that mean that Israel can do no bad or do no wrong? No, that's not what I'm saying. So there could be an instance where Israel is not doing right, but yet we don't forsake them. We don't turn our back on them, and we still want to see for their protection until God does what he's going to do. The oracle of Balaam, the son of Peor, so this is something that he said under the Spirit of God, and the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God. He's kind of lofty about himself and how God is speaking through him, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down, yet having his eyes uncovered. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens beside the river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from his buckets, and his seed will be many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Agag is a name of a king of the Amalekites who were enemies of Israel, but it ended up becoming like a common name for a king of the Amalekites. So he's showing that, hey, they're greater than their enemy, the king of Agag and the Amalekites. God brings him out of Egypt. That's Israel, by the way. He is for him like the horns of the wild ox. God is for Israel. He will devour the nations who are his adversaries, and he will crush their bones in pieces and shatter them with his arrows. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him. Who dares rouse him? Blessed. Now listen to this. This kind of echoes what I was saying earlier, and I think it's important to keep in mind today. Blessed is everyone who blesses you regarding Israel, and cursed is everyone who curses you. It couldn't be more clear. There are many who have a heart for Israel and the Jewish people, knowing that Christianity was founded on Judaism and the Old Testament. But there is a move today to really have a hatred towards Israel and to disregard what the Bible says about Israel. And I think it's unfortunate. I think we need to look at the Word of God, and we need to view Israel as the Word does and not as man does. And, you know, I think it's important that we honor God's Word. Then Balak's anger burned against Balaam, and he struck his hands together, and Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, but behold, you have persisted in blessing them these three times. Therefore, I flee to your place now. Therefore, flee to your place now. I said I would honor you greatly, but behold, the Lord has held you back from honor. Balak's like he was going to give him money to curse Israel, and Balaam just wouldn't do it. And Balaam said to Balak, did I not tell your messengers whom you had sent to me, saying, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything contrary to the command of the Lord, either good or bad, of my own accord. What the Lord speaks, that I will speak. And, you know, it does appear really in, even though he did go to the high places, which was not good, largely in the discourse of Numbers 22 through 24, Balaam did what was right. And God was ordaining, orchestrating, controlling Balaam to have Balaam do what he wanted. But it appears that God's control of Balaam to have him do what he wanted after this setting is going to go away, and Balaam's going to go back to being who he really is. He said, what the Lord speaks, I will speak. Now behold, I am going to my people. Come, and I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the days to come. He took up his discourse and said, and now he's going to accurately predict what Israel is going to do to some of the surrounding nations. The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor. By the way, remember that, the son of Beor. The oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down yet having his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob, a scepter shall rise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab. So he's prophesying that, you know, Balak, Moab, you guys are going to go down. Israel's going to take you and tear down the sons of Sheth. Edom will be a possession. Remember, Edom wouldn't allow Israel through, and they're going to pay for that. Seir, its enemies, also will be a possession while Israel performs valiantly. One from Jacob shall have dominion and will destroy the remnant from the city. And he looked at Amalek, and that's where that Agag was, and took up his discourse and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his end shall be destruction. And he looked at the Kenite and took up his discourse and said, your dwelling place is enduring and your nest is set on in the cliff. Nevertheless, Cain will be consumed. Cain with a K, K-A-I-N. How long will Ashur keep you captive? Then he took up his discourse and said, alas, who can live except God has ordained it? That's interesting, right? Who can live except God has ordained it? You know, even our breaths are in God's hands. But ships shall come forth from the coast of Gittim, and they shall afflict Ashur and will afflict Eber, so they also will come to destruction. Then Balaam arose and departed and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. Now, it appears that God, you might remember, through a donkey and through everything else, in this season of ministry of going to Balak, that God was, you know, working in Balaam's life. But, you know, prior to that, he was known as a diviner. And Balak summoned him because he was known as someone who worshipped false things and had some kind of evil or false power. And it's interesting, this kind of just struck me looking at verse 25 right now. Then Balaam rose and departed and returned to his place. And I almost look at it as he returned to who he was before. You know, he went back to his home and he became what he was before. Now, what happens next, and we'll look at it, you know, tomorrow when we do Numbers 25, but just briefly, look what happens. Well, Israel remained at Shittim, so the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal, false worship god, of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. So while they're hanging out next to Moab, and before they do any conquering, they begin to worship Baal and, you know, play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. That could mean sexual immorality with the daughters of Moab, and it definitely means that they began to worship the gods of Moab, and it was really a tragic thing. Now, if we go forward in our Bibles to Numbers 31:16, it says this: behold, these caused the sons of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. So the plague was among the congregation of the Lord. So Balaam, after he returned to his place, or maybe, you know, before he left, I don't, you know, we don't know exactly, but he's like, you know what, I couldn't curse Israel, but you know what, if I was trying to, dethrone them, if I was trying to mess with them, get them to worship Baal. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, and we don't know this, but possibly, you know, they learned of Balaam, like, blessing them instead of cursing them. But where did he do it from? Two of the three times he went up on the high places and did it. And maybe, you know, they thought, since Balaam was accurately predicting God from the high places, that the high places were a good thing and they should have known better. But they begin to worship the god of Moab, and it was because of Balaam's influence. Now, there's many areas of scripture that talk negatively of Balaam. One of them, because I recently have been preaching through the book of Revelation, we're almost done, but to the church in Pergamum, the church letter in Revelation chapter 2, God is not real pleased with Pergamum in some regards. And he says in verse 14 of chapter 2 of Revelation, "But I have a few things against you. Behold, you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. So you also have some who in the same way hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans." So what is this saying? There were some people in this church age letter to Pergamum that were holding to a false teaching of the Nicolaitans. So they were worshiping God, but they were incorporating in false worship of the teaching of the Nicolaitans. And John, getting this vision from Jesus, is comparing what they're doing in worshiping false teaching of the Nicolaitans to what Balaam did in getting Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality in the area of Peor while they were beside Moab. And it's clearly saying that it was the teaching of Balaam who helped Israel to get involved in this harlotry of worshiping Baal. So this is just one example of many in the scriptures where Balaam is shown that ultimately he did end up messing with Israel in a bad way, despite a short season of honoring God, as we saw with Balak originally. So anyways, what an interesting story. You know what? Bless Israel and do not curse, and be wary. You know, this makes me think that, you know, there are people that might for a season accurately teach about God, but some people turn away from God, and some people who once were solid in God are no longer solid in God. And, you know, whether that you're listening to me or any teacher, you got to continue to be a student of the whole counsel of God's word and compare what you're learning to the word of God. Because some people may honor him for a season and may not in another season. And we have to keep comparing whatever we're learning to God's word. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being a student of God's whole word. I trust that God's using it to make you a solid, steadfast follower of Jesus. And well done. God bless you all.